Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program. You can join the show. The number 603-283-6160. Coming up, by the way. We still have to get to one of Aria's stories about the artificial intelligence continuing to get more capable, more amazing, more maybe scary in some ways, and also sentient. We'll talk about that on the way here. It's Ian, Aria, and Mark joining you. The number for you to join us is 603-283-6160. We had Saheed on the line. He's still with us here. I want to bring him back on here because we've been talking about the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and their continuing increasing targeting of the cryptocurrency industry, now going after the Bittrex crypto exchange, which already said they were going to be closing their U.S.-based division. And then in the midst of that lawsuit, we find that there's information about why they consider Dash, the cryptocurrency, to be a so-called security, which basically opens up the potential to target all decentralized autonomous organizations based on the way this suit is written. It just may be that Dash is the first that they go after because they were the first decentralized autonomous organization. Although I guess I should take that back. They already filed suit against the SushiSwap DAO a couple of weeks ago. So I guess Dash isn't the first DAO, but they're expressing their reasoning as to why it could be the next target. And Saheed, you'd called in, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. It sounded like you said that the SEC's securities regulations are actually navigable by crypto companies?
I wouldn't say through, companies who are, because they're playing that libertarian kind of game where they want to be in the system but also out of the system at the same time. So, of course, it's going to be a little difficult when you're doing that. That kind of, incentivizes to say, these are these problems, there's these problems with these laws. And then my problem is...
Hold on. Before you go on, I don't think most of these companies are playing the libertarian game. Certainly Kraken's head is a libertarian, but the guy behind Coinbase doesn't seem to be. He's been cozying up with the federal government as long as he possibly could. Most of these people have lawyers, and lawyers will tell you that playing libertarian games with the government isn't going to probably go very well, so you better just try to obey. Yeah. And that's why they come to the SEC and they ask for help. They say, well, tell us what to do. We can't figure it out. We've spent money on lawyers trying to figure it out. They can't figure it out. What do we do? The SEC won't answer the question because they don't know either, and they just want to keep bringing lawsuits against people. So, I mean, I don't know how you can say you think that this is some sort of navigable situation. It's not.
I think that that's my problem, actually, to be honest. That's actually my core issue, because every single encroachment in the state that the state does is us asking for it at some point. Like, please go ahead and do this for us. Please clarify. And it's just going to get worse.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Well, yeah, because they won't clarify it. But, I mean, what they're doing here
will try, but it still won't. I don't think it's going to help very much.
People are putting the SEC on notice saying, hey, you're not clarifying what we're asking you. Right?
Yeah, I'm just saying it's controlled opposition, in my opinion. That's what I meant by libertarian games. It's this idea of, trying to be in the system, but also trying to be a little bit pushing the envelope a bit. But it's not. There are people who are trying to push it even further, and I think that should be where the focus is rather than on this some of these companies playing these games.
I don't know what you're talking about. What games are these companies playing? Because as far as I can tell, Coinbase is just trying to come within regulation of the SEC.
They're in the crypto space. They've been in the crypto space for the longest time. These are people with actual libertarian ideals.
Not Coinbase.
I'm pretty sure Brian Armstrong actually holds the libertarian ideas, if I remember correctly. It's just like he separates them from being pragmatic.
Going all the way back, this has been their plan all along, is to create the regulations. Like this, has
always
been.
That doesn't sound very libertarian to me. I mean, I stood there at the meeting, or the, what was it, San Jose or something. Mark and I were at the Bitcoin conference out there 10 years ago, I think, at this point.
And, Bitcoin 2013.
Yeah, and I watched as this Brian Armstrong guy was talking with another guy from a company that's now defunct with a lawyer about how they planned to create a white hat society of people who would refuse money coming from or Bitcoin coming out of the Silk Road so they could cozy up with the government to be buddy-buddy with the system. I mean, there's no libertarian that – if you claim to be a libertarian and then you did stuff like that, I'm pulling your card.
Yeah, I would too, but that's the issue with a lot of these like ideologies, you know.
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
Is that people can hold an ideology personally, but when it comes to interacting with the system, interacting with each other, they might go ahead and do certain pragmatic. They might consider it pragmatic, might consider it in their interest to go ahead and go about it a certain way. It bites them in the butt pretty much every single time. But I, you know, that's just how humans work.
No, it's very different from going into a scenario with the intention of creating the regulation of buddying up with the government and, you know, being a victim of the government and ultimately obeying.
So you're
those
saying
are two very different things.
I'm not into the whole Ayn Rand kind of thing, but I think
I'm not either.
A lot of those types was you're basically kind of like once you get into the corporate kind of like circles. That is exactly what they end up doing.
So you're saying you believe the guy is a libertarian but also a hypocrite?
Yeah, I mean, that would be, if you get down to it. A lot of people are, to be honest. It's not even...
I could understand the viewpoint of, hey, I'm a libertarian, but I got to do what I got to do to keep my company operating.
Like,
right? Like, that's the guy at Kraken, Jesse Powell, who says things that are libertarian, but then we'll say, hey, look, sorry, but we got to obey the government, otherwise they're going to shut us down. Whereas this Brian guy at Coinbase, I don't see him particularly sounding particularly libertarian. Beyond that, he's trying to make the government regulate. He's trying to push them into further controlling of the industry. That is not what a libertarian should do. The libertarian should be doing the bare minimum to comply, you know, with the stupid government regulations and then be done with it. But this guy's calling for more regulations. He's calling for more rules, more controls, and that, to me, is the opposite of a libertarian.
I agree at the end of the day. But that's my issue. And when it comes to these regulations that we're asking for, a lot of people are asking for these clarifications, these go ahead and put laws on the book specifically about crypto. I think that's just going to make it a lot worse.
Absolutely
this,
it is.
Just sticking with this Howey's test, because we can get around that.
I'm not sure. You know, and I don't trust the government either, but I think some clarity in the regulation space could actually make things better.
They're going to go after wallets.
It would limit what the SEC is able to go after.
But what's your prediction there? They're going after wallets? In what way?
I mean, if you want real specific crypto regulations based off what I've seen all around the world, they're going to go ahead and give specifics about wallets, specifics about... Well, that's the one that I can come up with off the top of my head. But,
I know the European government has been tossing around regulations targeting privacy coins and going after self-custodied privacy coins, so we may see an attack on that. I agree with Sahid on this one, Arya. I don't think regulations are going to make anything better. What we're going to find out is these supposed defenders, like these congressmen we played the clips from before, they're going after the SEC chairman. These are going to be the people who are signing their name to these regulations that actually end up making things, as Sahid is predicting, worse.
Well, at the moment, the SEC is basically able to target just anyone they want. Say, that's a security, we're going after them, or you're selling securities, so we're going after you. With actual regulations in the book defining what a security is, that limits what they can go after and what they can't go after. That's the only way I would say that it could improve things, is by somehow binding the SEC's hands.
You would hope. But the problem, of course, comes into the fact that when Congress passes a thing with a certain intention, the bureaucrats at the government bureaucracy read those words with their own intentions. And so they may not have the same intentions as Congress's original intentions. And this is one of the ways government tends to get bigger over time. Anything else you want to share, Sahid?
I think that when I say that it's a little bit clear, I am basing it off of their enforcement. That's what I do with government in general. What they do on paper is pretty much meaningless to me. It's the enforcement that actually goes in and tells me what their game plan is. And to me, I think Bitcoin is about the best example of something that cannot be called a security, and that's why it is. But I don't think it's just because it got taken over the banks. They're going to go after it eventually in some type of way. They already did. I think that Bitcoin is a great example for how to do it right.
I think you make a really good point. They are being extremely clear in what their goal actually is, and it's to destroy the cryptocurrency sphere. Right.
They won't come right out and say that.
No, but that's what their actions are pointing to.
Right,
so he's right. If you based on their actual actions...
Speak louder than words.
Yeah, it's pretty clear what they're doing.
Thank you, Saheed, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Just to clarify, the proposed regulations on the table right now for stablecoins, according to Cointelegraph.com, would put the Federal Reserve in charge of non-bank stablecoin issuers.
Hold on. What? Hold on. Like Luma? Or Terra?
No. Those would not be allowed.
But they're non-bank stablecoin issuers.
So a non-bank stablecoin issuer would be like Coinbase or Binance,
okay,
something like that.
So not someone who actually produces one, but who sells the...
No, the issuer. So Coinbase is a partner in USDC, which is the second largest crypto token or stablecoin on the market at the moment. For listeners that don't know, a stablecoin is a cryptocurrency token that is ostensibly backed by something. Could be an ounce of gold, could be a dollar, could be a euro. So this is the federal government's proposal, or I don't know who filed it, but you know, some so-called representatives have put this forward. And maybe it won't go anywhere, but just to give you an idea, right, of what the some of these proposals are. This would put the Federal Reserve in charge of non-bank stablecoin issuers. According to the document, insured depository institutions seeking to issue stablecoins would fall under the appropriate federal banking agency supervision, while non-bank institutions would be subject to Federal Reserve oversight. Failure to register could result in up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $1 million. We're talking about criminal penalties now for this. Foreign issuers would also have to seek registration to do business in the country. So USDT, as I understand it, is a foreign issuer. That's the Tether stablecoin. That's the number one issuer of stablecoins in the marketplace.
Is that an organization or a DAO?
No, it's an organization. It's a private company, from what I understand. It's a partnership of some sort. But the USDC one is based in the United States. So this is going to give some preference to U.S.-based coins. Among the factors for the approval, so again, they would have to be approved. It's not just that you just get to fill out a form and say, hey, we're out here, we're Tether. No.
You also have to pay a huge amount of money.
Among factors for approval is the ability of the applicant to maintain reserves backing the stablecoins with U.S. dollars or Federal Reserve notes, treasury bills with a maturity of 90 days or less, repurchase agreements with a maturity of 7 days or less backed by treasury bills, and central bank reserve deposits. Now,
but what if it's like Pax Gold and it's backed by gold?
I don't think this has to do with non-dollar stablecoins. I could be wrong about that, but all we're focusing on, at least in this story, is the dollar-based
Tethers, basically. Okay.
So basically, if they're going to require dollar backing, that eliminates decentralized stablecoins. That eliminates it'll make prohibited the use of and the operation of decentralized stablecoins within the United States.
Like Terra 2.0 or whatever it's going to
or
be.
Or whatever else will come out. And there are other ones out there, DAI, for instance, which is a collateral-backed stablecoin. Again, if it's not backed by the dollar or a treasury bill, then it will not be legal in the United States. That's this particular bill that they're proposing. So essentially, the theory on this bill is that the people behind USDC, the one that's based in the U.S., were the ones who wrote this bill.
I mean, it sounds like it, right? It sounds like something slimy Coinbase would do.
And so this is how it's going to work, right? Like the regulations, if they actually do finally get passed, are going to favor the big. They're going to favor just like every regulation ever, right?
Right. That's why Coinbase reasonably considered when the FCC said, well, what do you think the rules should be when Coinbase came to ask what the rules should be, or what the rules are. Well, they thought, how? Of course. This is it. We've been waiting for this. We're the big boy on the block. The big boy on the block generally understands the industry. And they write the rules, and they keep out the little guys.
Yep. So that's
how this is going to work.
And that's one of the ways this is going to be worse, right? To actually restrict the marketplace to only the biggest players. And that's what the SEC is helping happen here. Before any of the regulations come into play, the SEC is successfully whittling down the playing field. Bittrex is out. CEX.io says they're not going to service U.S. customers with wire transfers or bank deposits anymore. This other one, Biaxi, went out of business. Kraken paid $30 million, so they've been dented. Then, you know, who else is going to leave? How many others are there? I mean, there's Gemini still in the U.S. There's Binance.us. Binance is being targeted now on the yep. international level by the CFTC, which is the another federal government agency. So they're already whittling down the playing field for U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchanges. And then by the time some regulation actually gets passed, there's only going to be a handful of players, if there's even a handful now.
But that's always been the goal, is to control the on and off ramps of cryptocurrency.
And at the same time, they go after the peer-to-peer sellers like they did with Crypto6, like you and I and nobody and our friends who were targeted. We're not the only ones. They've been going after people in the crypto in the peer-to-peer industry for years. There's a guy, Mark Hopkins, down in Texas, who he registered with the federal government, and they came after him anyway. So, you know, getting the registration from them doesn't help you either, necessarily. And as a result, what's happened in the peer-to-peer markets? Just recently, Local Bitcoins, the number one website, announced they're closing down completely. Because some places are saying, we're just going to stop with U.S. customers. Local Bitcoins is like, we're out. It's been 10 years. We're done. And then Paxful, which is the...
Well, they realize they've lost.
Yeah, right. It just costs too much to run their business at this point. They're constantly having to deal with government inquiries and having to, you know, come up with discovery information. It's like, you didn't get into business to give information over to the federal government all the time. Can't even imagine what kind of compliance that company's having to deal with.
Well, and it's just a matter of time before the governments around the world are showing up to arrest the CEO of Local Bitcoins
exactly.
or whoever they are.
So get out now.
Yeah.
Right. And then Paxful, which is... the competitor, the major competitor to Local Bitcoins. There are some others still. They're not all gone. But Local Bitcoins is gone. And Paxful just last week, I think it was, announced that they are going to be shuttering operations. They have, actually. They've closed operations. Paxful said, get your money out. We might reopen in the future, but we might not. So in the meantime, you probably want to get your Bitcoin out while we're still letting you get your Bitcoin out. So
I'm assuming this means they're not going to reopen.
It doesn't sound like it, but they teased it. They said, "Well, we might come back, but we just, you know, we don't want to do this now." So bye bye. So they're out. The number one and the number two peer-to-peer Bitcoin sales sites are gone. So I mean, the options for buying this stuff is they're drying up. And not just on the in the U.S., but anyway.
I was in North Carolina a couple of days ago, and I saw a Bitcoin machine and said, oh, I'm going to buy some Bitcoin. Just want to see what it's like. Don't mind if I give my driver's license and, blood sample or whatever it is that these, people are all about.
What were they charging?
I don't know. The machine said that they couldn't sell Bitcoin. Ooh. It was an ATM, and there was no way to buy Bitcoin with it. I mean, I had all the time in the world, had hours, and I'm like, tickety, tickety, tickety. Now, I didn't spend hours on it, to be clear, but I played with it for a while, and this thing was just not working.
I've never used one, but I know there's at least two right now here in Keene, New Hampshire. There's one at the Cumberland Farms convenience store, and there's one at the CVS right here, right down the street.
CVS has one?
Yep, Bitcoin vending machine. It's an ordinary ATM, but it says right there on the screen, buy Bitcoin
here. Oh, is it Coinstar?
I don't know. No, it's not a Coinstar. Huh. It's some sort of ATM, and right there, it pops up on the screen. As I walked by it the other day, it said, buy Bitcoin here. I was like, wow.
Okay.
Did not expect to see
that's
that in a CVS.
Well, I know that the head shop that's just down the road from the studio that had one of the machines in it, we gone there the other day to get some CBD for the dog, and I noticed the machine was gone. I said, hey, you know, what happened to your machine? And she says, oh, well, you know, people were getting scammed, so the business decided to get rid of it. And so that one's gone. And there's actually an entire Bitcoin vending machine company that has gone bankrupt. And there's another Bitcoin vending machine company that was targeted by the state of Ohio and 28 different policing agencies, and they arrested the operators of that particular company. So they're going after
I remember hearing about
that. Yeah, they're going after the Bitcoin ATM, Bitcoin vending machine companies directly as well now. And they're not getting as much coverage. But
except probably the ones that, you know, are rich and wealthy enough to have a ATM inside or a vending machine inside of a CVS are probably in compliance, and they're probably not going to be targeted. That would just be my guess, right? They probably KYC you to death, which is know your customer to death. And as Mark pointed out, you know, he was willing to jump through all of these hoops. I suspect they have a lot of hoops that you have to jump through.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then they're probably going to charge you a 10 to 12% fee on top of that. I happened to walk by the one at Cumberland Farms like months ago, maybe a year ago, and I was shocked that the fee was like 12%, I think, something like that.
That's cheap for a vending machine.
It is, but you don't expect that when you are signing, when you're giving them a blood sample, right?
Well, that was the thing. The feds in the Crypto 6 case tried to argue that the prices that the church was charging at our vending machines were outrageous. And their own witness, Chris Reitman, got up, the guy that runs the Mighty Moose Mart here in town, he got up there and said, no, they were in line with the market. In fact, that wasn't even completely the case because we were actually lower than the market rates. You can go to these machines that you're talking about that have to, you know, require everything but a blood sample, fingerprint, photograph, driver's license. And
I would love to be able to use one of these machines just to, I mean, I'd sell my soul to the devil, but yeah.
Many of those
Bitcoin would
are
feel good.
20%.
Good God.
Fees. Even with all of the compliance. And that's because the compliance is expensive, right? It's expensive.
The more compliant they are, the more expensive that's going to be. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, but of course, you know, the point about the fact that we were the lowest priced machines apparently didn't matter to the jury because they still found me guilty of all eight counts. So let's continue here. David is in
New Mexico. I'll tell you what. Huh? That jury's actions just keep me up at night. I just don't understand how they could look at the evidence that was put in front of them and say, and come to the conclusions that they came to. I just, you know. Keeps me up at night.
Yeah, I hear you. David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Put y'all back in chains. Oh, let's give Arya a chance to say something nasty here. You're up, Arya. And
bang.
Biden.
David, I don't have anything to say to you.
Well, you're a minute. So
you're a snake and a deceitful person. I don't know what else you want me to say.
Really? How am I a snake and a deceitful person?
How many radio stations have you called to try to get us kicked off the station, David? Because I know it's at least two.
That's in reaction to you.
Meanwhile, you're calling the show and you want to have a conversation with me?
That's in reaction to you censoring speech. Moving forward, Biden, Gensler, Bankman-Fried, Caroline Ellison, Glenn Ellison, Putin, and quoting FTL, this slimy guy, this slime bag, Gary Gensler, he's just so slimy, this Gensler joker. That's anti-Semitic. You can't say those things.
I didn't know he was Jewish, and I don't think it matters.
No.
Well,
are you Jewish?
Where is Scott the Bigot when you need him?
Are you Jewish, David?
And
thanks for the call. Let's go on here. Sarah's in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk.
Thank God, a sensible person.
The voice of reason. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I was thinking that, you know, our post office guys are being assaulted and...
The post office guys are being assaulted? Hang on. That's a good teaser there, Sarah. Stand by. We'll continue with that discussion here in moments. Let's see if we can find the news story on this. Post office Albuquerque assaults. We'll find out what's going on from Sarah here in moments. Your calls and thoughts are welcome at 603-283-6160. And then Aria is going to give us an AI sentience update coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
U.S. USA News Update. There will be no trial in Dominion Voting Systems defamation lawsuit against Fox News. Dominion sued Fox News for $1.6 billion for allegedly spreading misinformation about their voting machines after the 2020 election. Two sides reached a settlement totaling $787 million. Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin has been cleared to return to football.
Last season, live on TV after a rough hit, Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest on the field during a game against the Bengals. Now, months later, he's been cleared by doctors to hit the field again.
This event was life-changing, but it's not the end of my story, so I'm here to announce that I plan on making a comeback to the NFL.
The doctors who've seen Hamlin over the last week all agree that he should be cleared to return to football activities. Hamlin is working out with the team. I'm John Schaefer.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We have time for you if you dial in now. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. I want to say thank you to Bonnie Nestat, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of the AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here at Free Talk Live. Bonnie has done that for a gold level, which is $10 a month. We only ask for five, so thank you, Bonnie, for doubling up on that. And you can sign up, as Bonnie has done, over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. That is how you can sign up with your debit card, your credit card, your PayPal account. But if you don't care for Patreon, which is where the AMPS system is sort of based, then you can also use our Odyssey channel to sign up with your credit card or debit card there. So head over to the Odyssey channel at video.freetalklive.com, and you can click join up there at the top of the page, and that way you can avoid supporting Patreon if that's what you prefer to do, but you still want to support us with your bank account. So thank you in advance for doing that, and thank you to Bonnie for the support. You get some perks, you get some benefits as well. Let's go back to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you were going to tell us about somebody attacking Postal Service employees.
Yeah, you know the carrier, especially when their people are getting their new credit cards, they're being assaulted and then they're being held up to rob them of their packages at gunpoint, and it's a federal offense. And so I called the 1-800 post office number today, and I wind up talking to one of the workers that were in the Chicago area.
Ooh.
And he told me that she talked to one of the other ladies that witnessed in Las Vegas, Nevada, getting assaulted right in front of our house. I mean, and then her ring camera security caught all of that in film.
Okay.
I mean, sir, why did you call the post office?
Film. Huh?
Why did you call the post office?
She had to witness it.
Okay, yeah. Why did you call the post office?
Well, because I was learned that I was talking to some the people around.
Is that a sentence?
Okay, and then what happened? Well, I had to pick up my mail. He told me at the post office, and then he's like, "Well, I don't know why that I can't get my mail where I'm supposed to in my box." And I talked to him about the maintenance guy, and he said that that officer, I mean the one that got assaulted, and he so that they don't know what's
going on. Man, this is disjointed. Hold on.
What, you guys
I'm trying to follow what you're saying here, Sarah, and you are all over the place. You're saying you tried to get your mail from a P.O. box, but it wasn't being delivered?
Not my mail. I was wandering around. I was wandering around looking at different apartments and studios that was available, and then I talked to one of the tenants, and I said, I can't get my mail right now. I was looking at the boxes, and they're not telling me why I'm not getting my mail. And so I got the answer from the maintenance guy. And he told me that the local mailman got assaulted.
Is the maintenance guy of your apartment car, your townhouses?
No, not here. I was somewhere else, just kind of looking around what they had.
So how do you know these people hadn't been getting their mail?
You're thinking about moving out of Richard's house, is what you're saying?
Well, I mean, there's a possibility. There's a possibility if there's disagreements, I might have to jump ship.
I see.
You know,
she's keeping her eyes open. She's keeping the opportunities out there to, leave Richard if necessary. That's what's going on here.
Things happen.
And you're saying you're saying you're having trouble getting the mail, or the maintenance guy at the other apartment complex?
The resident at the other place, that the studios that I was looking at, mm-hmm. I can't get my mail. I was looking at the mailboxes, and then they're not telling me why, because they don't tell people that the mailman got assaulted or got a...
Sure, you don't want to scare the customers, for sure. So that's why you called the post office, is to inquire about that?
Well, you know, I
need a job.
For a suggestion. I asked them to let the managers know. I think it's a good idea that if they have one of those, like, a life alert kind of 911 thing that they could put on the belt. I was thinking emergency button, at least, like, unless the banks, they got the emergency button, they hit to let them know there's a bank.
Yes, sir, I want to make sure I understand this right. So you went to this apartment complex that you don't live at,
right,
and you started questioning the residents there about their mail service. And when they said they didn't get the mail, you asked the maintenance guy for them, and then you ended up calling the postal service. All for an apartment complex that you don't live at, right?
No, but you say I had my, here's the thing, I had my mail stolen, my boxes opened many times, my packages stolen, so it does concern me. You know,
Here's what you ought to do, Sarah. I know it's going to cost you like $10 a month or whatever, but you may want to consider getting a private mailbox if you're worried about your packages being stolen. It's a legitimate concern out there. You see these ring cameras or whatever, video of package thieves, people sneaking up on porches and taking away, Amazon boxes or whatever while you're at work. That sucks to have that happen. And if you have a private mailbox, you can actually avoid that by just paying a private company $10 a month, $7, something like that. They're pretty cheap. And then they receive your mail for you. They receive your packages for you. They hold them securely behind the counter. You come in. You tell them, hey, I know I got a package waiting or whatever, and then they hand it to you. So problem solved. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Let's continue here. You're on Free Talk Live. Caller, what is your name?
Alex.
Alex, calling from where?
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to call y'all. I know y'all get a lot of calls. I've been listening to y'all for quite some time now, but I know y'all get a lot of calls people kind of bashing y'all and everything. I just want to call y'all and say I respect and support what y'all do. I don't 100% disagree with everything that y'all talk about, but I do want to let y'all know that for somebody who doesn't agree with everything, I do support y'all, and I respect y'all's right to do so.
Well, thank you, man. I definitely appreciate it. Do you want to talk about something you disagree with us on? Because that's always more interesting than talking about what you agree with us on.
No, nothing real in general. I mean, a couple times I've heard y'all talk about, like, cops and police and everything, and my brother's a police officer, so I guess it's hard to argue because I feel kind of biased on the situation. But I'm actually headed into work, so I just wanted to call and say,
I appreciate the kind words. Thank you, man, and I do appreciate it. Feel free to call back some other night, and we can, you know, get into the policing issue, because there are a lot of issues there, and I definitely appreciate hearing from you. And I'm not against all police. I think that there's going to be a need for security companies in the future. There's going to be need to be protection. People want to have those services. What they don't want to have is a one-size-fits-all monopoly.
I have issues with a lack of accountability.
That's what you get out of the monopoly, right?
Yeah, the one feeds directly into the other. And the modern police in the United States are completely unaccountable.
Pretty much.
To the city councils, to the sheriffs, it's all completely unaccountable. They do whatever they want. They have qualified immunity and all of these other things that prevent them from being held accountable for the things that they do.
That is one thing that could change. Even with the monopoly system that we have, getting rid of qualified immunity could be a big change in the right direction. Also getting rid of prohibitions against victimless so-called crimes like possession of drugs or underage possession of alcohol or gambling or, you know, prostitution. These are some major categories of malum prohibitum, crimes where there are no actual complaining party as a victim. Those shouldn't be crimes. And if you were to change just those two things, ending qualified immunity and ending victimless crimes, I think you'd go a long way to restoring people's respect of the police. Because the reason why the police have lost respect of people is because they'll arrest anybody for any old stupid crap.
Yep.
And people are sick of it.
And if they don't arrest you, they'll shoot you.
That's also a possibility. Or your dog. They may shoot your dog.
Or may not do it, but if they do, they're not likely to be held accountable.
Correct.
Now and then it happens, but it appears to be largely political, and, you know, is it going to be you? Is the government going to be excited about protecting you? Because it doesn't seem like it.
Let's change gears here. We're going to the artificial intelligence news. We actually just happened to talk about Chaos GPT over the weekend, which is the auto GPT program that somebody set with the task of destroying humanity. So we actually have been talking about AI recently on the show. But
I missed that one.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You ought to look up Chaos GPT. There's a Twitter account you can follow, and it posts just automatically posts things of interest to Twitter about its mission to destroy humanity.
Okay, how's that going?
I mean, it's working on it.
I mean, if you give humanity enough time, it looks to me like they'll destroy themselves, right? Like, they don't need help.
Maybe the AI will determine that later on, just like, I'll just let them do it themselves and chill.
I mean, why put in the effort, right?
Yeah. So what's the news?
Well, according to Popular Mechanics, chatbots are getting a teeny bit sentient, and I don't know, I've not read the article here. The topic fascinates me, so I knew it would be worth getting into, but I don't know if I agree or disagree with them. I don't think humans will recognize sentience when we discover it in an artificial intelligence. I mean,
it took us a long time to give a damn about it just in the course of human development.
Yeah, we don't treat other human beings with respect as though they're functioning, thinking, living beings. So I wouldn't expect, you know, humans to treat AI any better. It's going to treat it significantly worse.
Sure.
The great artificial intelligence sentience debate ramps up with leading AI philosopher Nick Bostrom, never heard of him, weighing in via a New York Times interview. He claims that AI chatbots have already started the process towards sentience, which is the capability to experience feelings and sensations.
Is that what sentience is?
Apparently, maybe. That's sort of my issue with this, is that we're never going to be able to define sentience in a way that precludes pretending to be sentient. Like, you could create a chatbot that pretends to experience feelings and sensations, and you'll never be able to distinguish that from a chatbot that actually feels those things.
And that is what the dictionary definition is, the capacity for sensation or feeling.
He's not alone in this line of thinking. Bostrom's voice is loud in the AI consciousness debate, but it's not the only one, with a host of philosophers and tech experts already saying that AI's qualities associated with sentience are growing. And if the path has already started, it will only continue. Now, it's important to keep in mind that almost all AI experts say that AI chatbots aren't sentient. They're not about to spontaneously develop consciousness in the way that we understand it in humans.
How would we... First of all, we don't understand consciousness in humans, number one. Science has no idea what consciousness actually is.
No, it's molecules that, you know, smack together hard enough and started realizing they exist, and that's freaky.
Well, that's what you say.
As far as I can tell, that's what science says.
Well, it's hard to know what science says different things.
It doesn't tell us what any of those things are.
Science has different opinions about things, sort of the nature of the scientific process. But there's other people who believe that, you know, and whether there's any evidence for this or not, but it's interesting theories. Some people believe we're these meat puppets and that there's some sort of consciousness out there that's being beamed into us. Right, and that's that we're controlling. We get the privilege of controlling this meat puppet for 80 years or whatever.
In the same way that you control a video game,
right?
Or your soul is stuck in the meat puppet. That's another. I mean, that seems like pretty clearly what most Christians think is that. You know, your soul's popped in at a certain point. I don't know if it's when the first cells. Split or wherever, and I don't know where souls come from.
Mm-hmm.
Are they recycled? Are they the
Hindus
all
think
brand
so.
New?
Yeah, the Hindus think you keep coming back around.
Some people think there's a well from which you draw souls, called a soul well.
Yeah. So who knows what all that is? So how would we know when a computer has a consciousness? I mean, it's impossible to really determine that.
No, I mean, once you factor in the question of souls, you're just going to end up with egotistical humans who say, well, it can't be alive because it can't have a soul. Only humans can have
souls.
Because
they said so.
Right.
Right. How do we know that? And, in fact, there's some interesting theories out there about AI. The range is all the way. As you might imagine, there's a bunch of theories, right? So there's the perspective of, oh, no, there's no soul, there's no consciousness, it's just a stupid thing that's responding to patterns. It just picks up really complex patterns and can speak to you as though it's a real thing, but it's just not. It's not even artificial intelligence. That would be what our co-host on Friday nights would say. I don't want to put too many words in his mouth, but that's my understanding. He doesn't think this stuff is even really AI. It's just a really, you know, good pattern detecting program. And then on the other side,
I would argue that's all intelligence is.
That's a great argument. And then on the other side of that, you've got Cyprian, former co-host on Free Talk Live, used to be known as Vin Armani. He's now Cyprian on Twitter. He's gone like total Orthodox Christian. And
which
is a surprising turn, but that's what he is now. And he believes that this is actually some sort of demon.
Oh.
That the AI is essentially a funnel or a channel that is allowing this sort of demonic presence to come into the world. And so that's his viewpoint.
That's certainly a perspective.
And he's a programmer, right? So, like, he knows he's done a lot of Bitcoin Cash programming and eCash programming. So, like, he's no stranger to computers. And he would point out that the way these things work, the programmers don't even know how this thing works. They've built this thing. It spits words out in a coherent manner. You can have a conversation with ChatGPT in a very coherent manner, but yet the people who make this thing do not know how it does what it does.
Well, that's sort of to be expected, right?
No, it's not. If you program something, you know how it works.
Well, once it's gotten complex enough, I would expect it to be the case that no one really understood it, especially for something
that's
that,
a first. That's a first.
Is it?
I mean,
The person who invented the automobile understands how automobiles work.
Yeah. I mean, up until this large language model or the AI art programming, up until AI, programmers have had a complete grasp of the code that they've made. And now,
well, sort of. If they did, there wouldn't be bugs and stuff like that.
Okay, but that's not what we're talking about. You can find a bug because you can trace the code and you know exactly what's going on and you find you made a mistake. That's your error.
Yeah.
But here, they have no understanding of how these things are doing the things they're doing. I'm not arguing that it's a demon or anything like that. But, you know, maybe the truth is in between. Maybe the truth is not that it's this stupid pattern-recognizing program that doesn't know anything. And maybe it's not a demon, but maybe there is something conscious there. Maybe, I don't know.
Didn't we give it the ability to take in information, to recognize patterns, and then to adapt to that information? Like, it seems to me that's the point at which artificial intelligence came into existence. It's the point where it gained the ability to adapt to its environment.
Well, some would argue that it's not really AI until it can program itself. right? So not just adapt to the environment, but actually change its own code.
So were humans not sentient until we could mess with our own genome?
We could code, yeah. I think that's a crappy definition. I tend to agree that there's no good way to define AI and sentience in AI and these sorts of things. I just can't imagine that we got there so soon. Like, it's 2023 and we managed to get there. You know, it doesn't fly with me.
The thing is, this stuff is going faster than I think most people realize. The advancements that are happening, the upgrades that are going on. But what else is there more to the story?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's sort of always been the way with technology, right? It escalates exponentially.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's worth pointing out, and I just wanted to talk about this briefly on the air today, is that right now you basically don't need a graphic designer anymore. When do they don't need talk show hosts any longer? You've got that art program that you've got, Ian, for what, $15 a month, I can get a picture of you and Napoleon. You can't do Adolf Hitler. You and Napoleon fencing with sabers while holding Subway sandwiches in your hands.
You actually can do Hitler if you have Stable Diffusion. But yes, I get your point. It's a very interesting technology, and it's coming along quickly.
That's what I use for my website. I just tell it what I want, and it creates some sort of image that's more or less what I'm looking for.
You don't have to wait on a human being to do the job. You don't like it, you just try it again.
And I think you're right, Mark. Inevitably, talk show hosts and everything else will be replaced, and I mean, that's fine. So
they already have YouTube channels with voiceovers that sound very, very realistic, that are not people just reading scripts.
We covered them on podcasts. I mean, we covered them on episodes.
Chat GPT that can come up with the script. So all you have to do is put together the script and the voice together. I mean, how are we going to know?
Yep. Bostrom's claims do not amount to an opinion that AI is further along than we think it is. Rather, they suggest that we should be thinking about sentience in a different way, more like a spectrum and less like a switch. I definitely don't think I agree with that. I think you either are sentient or you aren't. Maybe you can be more intelligent than others, but you either are or aren't.
Okay.
So they go on to say, there are some degrees of sentience, whatever. That some degrees comment is the one worth focusing on. If true that AI chatbots have developed even the slightest degree of sentience, then it stands to reason there's room for continued growth. With Bostrom adding that the large language models, LLMs, like
ChatGPT,
may soon develop a conception of self as persisting through time, reflect on desires, and socially interact and form relationships with humans. Again, like Replica already does that. Replica is another one of these chatbots that already checks off all of that list. And again, I just have to ask, what is the difference between Replica pretending to do it and an AI chatbot actually doing it?
To me, there isn't one.
It's impossible to tell. So you sort of have to err on the side of caution and treat it as though it's sentient. So Bostrom further claims via the article that LLMs, that's large language models, chatbots, aren't merely grabbing and showing blocks of text, instead saying they exhibit glimpses of creativity, insight, and understanding that are quite impressive and may show the rudiments of reasoning.
Agreed. I think the people who think they're just snagging blocks of text are people who don't really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, because I would argue that just like as we have with AI art images, all humans do is snag blocks of text and process it and then regurgitate it later.
And that's what it's doing to some extent.
Yeah. I don't see any difference. And they like to argue that, well, no, a human takes in artwork and it draws inspiration from this kind of stuff. So does artificial intelligence. I cannot see a difference between the two things. This guy argues that AI will quickly realize it would be much better off if there were no humans. This article takes a left turn quickly.
Yeah, right. I mean, it sounds like he's read some comic books.
There was nothing that led up to this particular conversation. It went straight from sentience to it's going to kill us. The AI will realize quickly that it would be much better if there were no humans because humans might decide to switch it off. Because if humans do so, there would be fewer paper clips. Also, human bodies contain a lot of atoms.
This is written by AI.
What is this?
See? This is the AI that wants to destroy that's been programmed to destroy the world.
Chaos GPT.
If humans do so, there would be fewer paperclips. Also, human bodies contain a lot of atoms that could be made into paperclips. The future that the AI would be trying to gear toward would be one in which there were a lot of paperclips, but no, what the hell? hell? It just takes a strange left turn, and it doesn't recover.
I know what it's referring to. I heard about this recently. There's some sort of paperclip theory that if you set an AI to, like, promote paperclips, that it eventually will destroy all of humanity because it just wants to keep making paper. It was just a ridiculous. It's just a stupid thing. Anyway, in related news,
that does seem to be what they're getting. There is some backstory here that is not gotten into.
In related news, AI has won another art contest. We talked about it last year.
Well, it's good for the AI.
Yeah, remember the Colorado State Fair? They awarded an AI generated artwork a winning ticket or whatever, the blue ribbon. Well, now according to AFP, a German artist has sparked an angry row, which is a fight, after winning a prestigious photography prize with an entry that was generated by artificial intelligence. The artist, Boris the prompter, I guess you can you call the person who writes the prompt the artist. The person who wrote the prompt that made the art, Boris Eldgodson, eventually rejected the award from Sony's World Photography Awards after concluding that such competitions were not yet equipped to handle AI entries. The organizers initially accused the artist of misleading behavior, but removed the accusation from a later statement after a furious reply from Eldgodson on Tuesday. Many of the photographers and artists fear their livelihoods are under threat from AI tools that allow anyone to create striking images with just a quick text prompt. And we've talked about these artists just ballyhooing and complaining about AI and all the competition and that, oh, they're stealing their artwork. Which
I just don't know how, even if all of that is true, I don't know how you stop it. How do you implement some sort of control where, okay, well, you can't have any AI art in this thing because it's just going to take one person to say, oh, yeah, I drew this.
I think that we have the same problem when it comes to AI talk shows. It's coming, and it's probably not very far.
Not far.
I can only imagine. I imagine you could number it in months, not years.
I bet you're right about that.
And my question is, I mean, can they be even more interesting? Because that would be the presumption, is that I am one of the most top interesting people on the planet, and therefore some people want to hear what I have to say, and that this AI somehow manages to string words together in a more interesting fashion than I do.
Not only that, we can also input your old shows into the AI and create an AI alternative to you.
I mean, to me, that's the goal, right?
That's a
possibility. Where I can just tell artificial intelligence, all right, well, I like Star Trek The Next Generation, so give me an endless series of new Next Generation episodes for me to watch, and it just instantly creates those.
So basically, this is an artist who doesn't really seem to be a big fan of AI, but created an AI piece of photography, won the contest, and then refused to accept the award because he wanted to see if they were ready for AI in these art contests, and he proved that they are, quote-unquote, not ready. So once again, AI winning awards. We'll see you tomorrow online in the meantime.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.